Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
I want to share something this morning. We had a great crowd at our chapel campus. For those of you who don't know, we've been able to plant a second campus as a church in Highland City. We call it our chapel campus. We had a great crowd there, and we had 8 kids in worship. Can we give it up for God for that wonderful gift? I'm so grateful that we got to have that. All of those kids there in that space really made it a lot more fun. And then when they left worship, it was like, oh, this is kind of boring with all the grown-ups, you know. It was nice to have them there. So all of Scripture is filled to the brim with dreams. God, angels, heavenly messengers show up in people's dreams when they go to sleep. But when we talk about dreams as modern human beings, oftentimes we are not talking about what happens while we sleep. We are talking about the things that we'd like to see one day. But today, let's also hear about the dreams God has for us. Not just the dreams that we have in our hearts for our neighborhoods, but also for that God has in our lives. Dreams are such a funny thing. You know, we put our head on a pillow and we, fall asleep, and then all of a sudden we're in front of our 7th grade biology class and we're doing a presentation, but we didn't study about mitochondria. And so we just repeat, it's the powerhouse of the cell, over and over again. You know, I don't know if you have recurring dreams like that. I am incredibly afraid of heights. That's a thing you can know about me. But I don't interact with heights very much. But my sweet little brain, this gray matter between my ears, makes sure that I see heights almost every night. Just kind of a thing like, I wonder if you were on top of the Sears Tower right now. How would that feel? It feels terrible, just to be clear. And I wish my brain would leave me alone. Maybe some of you have had a strange dream. Your college professor shows up and is mad at you because you never turned in that paper 20 years ago. That sort of feeling that we have while we're sleeping. But then much more vitally, those dreams that we have in our hearts, those whispers in our ear, those things we see on the news that we wish weren't the way that they are, our neighborhood that we wish was different, those things that we carry, those dreams are important to us and important to God, because ready or not, God has dreams for you. Ready or not, God has dreams for you. This is the first thing you can write in your paper bulletin. Or if you're more of a digital person, you can go to our website and click on sermon notes and you can take a digital note that way. Ready or not, God has dreams for you. Sleep really is just the strangest thing. We lay down and all of a sudden we're kind of in a charging mode. You know, it's like ding, and we're just not going to move for a couple hours. Sleep is a funny thing too, because when I was younger, before I had a kid, before I was a parent, I thought I needed like 10 hours of sleep. Apparently, I just need to shut my eyes for a couple of minutes and I'm okay. That is a thing that a baby will teach you, and I know some of you have babies here in this room. You can do a lot with 45 minutes of sleep. It's amazing. One REM cycle and you're good to go. Right, Zivkoviches? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Tatum's like, I'll give you even less. See how much you can do. It is amazing the gift that sleep is, and also it's a strange thing that we do as human beings. Sunday afternoon as a pastor, I have a third sacrament as a pastor, and that is the Sunday nap. The Sunday nap is this wonderful thing where I'm driving home and I think to myself, you know, I'm actually not that tired. I feel pretty good. I don't think I'll take a nap today. And then as soon as I hit the driveway at my house, my body goes, you're taking a nap or I'm taking you. And I go, oh, okay. And so I take a nap. It's a 20-minute nap. I go to sleep. I touch the bottom of the pool. I come back up, have a cup of coffee. Then I get to have another day. It's really kind of a funny thing. Dreams and sleep, it's a weird experience that we all share. Some of you I know actually don't even have dreams. Did you know this? That some people don't have dreams. It's just not a thing that they do, which is so strange. It's up there with not having an inner monologue in your head, which is another thing that some people have, where they don't have a voice going, oh, you forgot your keys. You know, that sort of thing. But it's an experience that we all have. And the Bible is filled to the brim with dreams that you'll see in every single passage, in every single book of the Bible. You'll see something that alludes to this thing that happens when we fall asleep. And you'll also see there's some books out there helping you explain your dreams. You know, if you see the color green in your dream, you're going to have money in the future. Or if you get chased by a dog, it means you're worried about work. Those books are great if you need something to read on an airplane. I don't really buy into it. I don't really feel like God speaks to me in dreams unless God is really telling me to study the mitochondria because it's going to be important at some point in my life. Instead, I think that God speaks to me through community, if I'm willing to listen. I think God will speak to us through community if we will listen. If we're willing to listen to the people that God has put around us, I think that can speak to us even more loudly than dreams. I think that having conversations with the people that are in my church, the people that are in my neighborhood, that gives me an opportunity to hear from God in a way much, much better than a dream. Because I can misunderstand a dream. I can think a dream is because I had an odd burrito too late at night. A dream might be some sort of weird, childhood thing that I'm trying to work through. But when I listen to my community, when I listen to the people around me, that's when I'm going to hear from God. Because ready or not, God has dreams for you. Ready or not, God has dreams for you. Our passage today comes from Genesis. If you've never had a chance to read through Genesis or Exodus, I encourage you to do so. The strangest sort of stories are in Genesis and Exodus. You will find some really hot family gossip. You know, if you miss 90s talk shows, you should read Genesis and Exodus. You'll get a similar sort of flavor. If you're sad that you can't watch Judge Judy, you might be able to get something from there. The patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith are there, and they had some odd interactions with their brothers, their mothers, their sisters, and their fathers. But in Genesis, we're going to be reading a story about a guy named Jacob. And Jacob was a mess. Jacob was a mess in a myriad of different ways, and yet was a part of the lineage of who God had called. And so today, when we read this passage, I want us to be thinking about how sometimes we are not in a stage of life where we feel ready to hear a dream. We might feel like we're in a stage of life where we're not ready to hear what God is saying to us. And I want us to put ourselves in the place of Jacob. We have a tradition here at Shepherd's where after the reading of God's word, we'll say thanks be to God. But we like to add our extra zhuzh and we say the word woo. So be ready to add that in. So Genesis chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. Jacob reached a certain place and spent the night there. When the sun had set, he took one of the stones at the place and put it near his head. Then he lay down there. He dreamed and saw a raised staircase, its foundation on earth, and its top touching the sky. And God's messengers were ascending and descending on it. Suddenly, the Lord was standing on it and saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Jacob or Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will become like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, east, north, and south and become like the dust of the earth. Oh, no. Every family of earth will be blessed because of you and your descendants. I am with you now. I will protect you everywhere you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised you. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought to himself, the Lord is definitely in this place, but I didn't know it. He was terrified and thought, this sacred place is awesome. It's none other than God's house and the entrance to heaven. After Jacob got up early in the morning, he took the stone that he had put near his head and set it up as a sacred pillar and poured oil on top of it. He named that sacred place Bethel, though Luz was the city's original name. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So this story of Jacob, our hero in this tale, is literally on the run. If you read Jacob's story, he's either running away from something or running towards something. He never really had a chill moment in his story. He was either on some sort of scheme or being chased out of town because of said scheme. So he's on the run. He is not in a stable place. Our stage of life may feel unstable. I don't know what stage of life you're walking into church this morning in. I don't know if you're young and you're trying to figure out who you are. I don't know if you're older and you're trying to figure out who you are. I don't know if you just started a relationship or one just ended. I don't know where you're at in life. All I know is that I don't think anyone is getting chased down by a brother who wants to kill you, which is where Jacob is. And in that stage of life, God shows up in a dream and speaks to Jacob. And I think, depending on your stage of life, you might be waiting to follow your dream. You might be waiting until a better time, when your schedule frees up a bit more, when you're able to fit in the dream that God has put into your heart. I wonder if you're waiting for a more convenient time. I have heard this Chinese proverb for many years, and I think it might mean something to you. It's this: the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Too often we spend time in our lives worrying about what we could have done. We think back in time and wonder, could I have been a better brother, a better parent, a better friend? Could I have worked harder? Could I have achieved more? And every moment that we think about what we could have done in the past is wasted. You can't go back in time. You know, a time machine would be great. I've got a list of things that I would like to do, a lot of things that I would like to see different in my life right now, a lot of things that I wish were different, and a lot of things I wish I could have just seen a little bit more of. I have this app on my phone called Time Hop, which I love it and I hate it because my kid is 9. She's getting taller than my wife. She has more opinions. She told me the other day that I'm so 2013, which the depth of that insult is so severe, because in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, 2013. That's last year. It weren't. It was 12 years ago, for those of you keeping score. And I look at Time Hop, and what Time Hop does is it looks at your posts from however many years ago, so it pulls up pictures that you took. And just a minute ago, while you guys were singing and I was looking at my phone, don't do that. I'm working on it, okay? I saw a picture from 6 years ago of my little girl with work gloves on her hand making a silly face, and I thought, time is a thief. You know, time is taking so much. And every moment that I think backward, I am missing an opportunity to think forward. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Your dreams will arrive with very little consideration to your schedule. The dreams that God will place in your heart, in your mind, in your life will not have any consideration for your schedule. Because ready or not, God has dreams for you. Jacob uses a stone as a pillow. I remember being a kid and hearing this story and thinking, I wonder why he used a stone as a pillow. Because even as a kid, I was like, I'd probably wake up with a crick in the neck. But now that I'm 36, I'd wake up in the hospital if I slept on a stone. I've reached the point in my life where if I'm going on vacation or going to a hotel, my pillow has to fit in my suitcase, or the rest of the week is ruined as I just take in the world with a head tilted to the side. But nothing says discomfort quite like a rock for a pillow. Does anyone buy that this, you know, okay. I was hoping for a second I could convince you. So this stone is here to give us like a sort of object to look at. A stone like this would have been used as a place for someone to rest their head if they were in, maybe not exactly like this, but a real rock would be there to, you know, someone would use this to keep their head off the ground, give them a place to rest their head, because sometimes you just want a place to rest your head. But nothing says discomfort quite like a rock for a pillow. No one chooses a rock. Although I wonder, I feel like there's probably a podcaster out there that's like, you know, the real thing to do if you want to see gains is you sleep on the ground, you use a rock as a pillow. I call it the Jacob sleep diet. You know, I feel like that's a thing. They were on Joe Rogan, I'm sure. But Jacob is in between places and God shows up for him. Even when Jacob is so in between places that he uses a rock as a pillow, God shows up. Even while he was running away, Jacob had to acknowledge that God was with him. Jacob was on the run so much that he couldn't grab his pillow before he left, and God chased him down. God chased him down, not just with love and care and affection, but a dream for the future. A dream for the future. I think sometimes we convince ourselves that we're not ready for a dream. We're not ready to serve what God has placed in our hearts. We're not ready to love our neighborhood. Things are just a little bit too busy. Once things settle down, that's when I'll be able to fulfill my dream. I'll be able to listen to what God is telling me. Jacob was sleeping on a rock, and God showed up. Ready or not, God has dreams for you. I want you to take out the not bulletin, little flyer that you were given this morning to talk about the 2026 budget. Here's the thing, man. Churches fall into two different camps. One is a church that's talking about the budget often. And it's talking about the budget often because they'd like you to help them get to the budget. You understand what I mean? And then the other side is a church that never talks about the budget and doesn't want you to know about the budget. We exist in a third space where we want you to know everything about the budget that you could possibly care about and probably just a little bit more. We want everyone to be informed about where your tithes and offerings go to. But we also want you to know about it because no one else is coming to help us fulfill the dream that God has placed in our lives. No one else is showing up. God has placed this in our heart as a church community. This morning as we were greeting people at the chapel campus, I looked up and I looked at the building. That building is 128 years old. That means 128 years ago, a bunch of people had a sleep and woke up with a dream and said, surely this is the house of the Lord. 25 years ago, someone drove down Shepherd Road, saw an orange grove and thought, surely this is the house of the Lord, and they built a warehouse. this sacred place is where God will meet people, and God has been meeting people here and has been meeting people there for a long time. Because someone took a nap and had a dream. God spoke to them. They weren't ready for it. It wasn't fitting their life schedule. And God has shown up for us once more. I want you to see just a few things that are going to be changing in 2026. The first is, for the first time in 5 years, this church will be able to fund its youth ministry. Can we praise God on that? We have an incredible youth director, an incredible team of youth volunteers that connect with kids from grades 6 through 12, and we want to support that ministry. We had supported that ministry for years before the last 5 years, but we are now going to support it as a church family. We did that ancient Christian practice, which has made the youth pastor fundraise before. So some of you painted a pumpkin at the Fall Fest or bought a cookie or something. Thank you for that, but now we get to contribute as a church family. The next thing you'll see is that this budget increases a pension payment for your pastor and also has a 5% raise for your pastor as well. I wanted to share that with you because a part of Charge Conference is looking at the salary that your pastor is paid. Now, if you're a visitor, this might feel weird, and that's okay. I love being a part of a church where you are not surprised that your pastor gets paid, and you're not surprised at how much your pastor gets paid. and that it is an open thing that we talk about. Being a nice, you know, northern boy from Boston, I get very uncomfortable when people talk about money, especially when it's the money that I have. It's very strange and different for me. But I serve you, and so you should know. So I wanted to share that with you. And then thirdly, for the first time in 10 years, this church will pay both our principal and our interest on our mortgage.
Amen.
Amen. I get emotional about that because for the last 10 years, the bank that owns our mortgage has been very kind and has allowed us to pay interest only on our mortgage, which is, to use the technical term, bananas. Crazy that they let us do that. And the thing about mortgages, you got to pay them back. And we get to start doing that as a church family. Now, let's clap again. I'm so excited about that. The reason I get emotional is because when I was preparing for Charge Conference, the business meeting of the church, I looked at the pastor's report from 2021. And it's basically like reading your journal from 5 years ago. And I was reading what that dum-dum, me, was writing about the church. And he could not have imagined where we would be right now. Could not have fathomed the way that this church would show up. I knew how many sleepless nights that pastor had. I knew how worried that dummy was that this church was not going to succeed. And look at us, friends. Here we are. Glory to God and hallelujah. So thank you so much for being a generous church. A bunch of people put their head on a pillow and had a dream. And here we are fulfilling that dream. All of us will continue to fulfill that dream in 2026. And I'm so grateful that we get to be a part of it. Because ready or not, God has dreams for you. The dreams that we dream will be too small. I originally had envisioned me spending some time talking to you about what my dreams are for this church. Some of you already know because I like to talk about how much I believe in this church and how much I believe in what God is doing here at Shepherd's. We're this unique thing where we're not, extreme on other end, but we're deeply extreme when it comes to hospitality. That the way that we love people is deep and broad and meaningful. We love people really, really well. And so I'm excited about what's ahead, but I won't bore you with my dreams because here's an important thing to understand. The dreams that all of us dream will be far too small. I look back at the 2021 pastor's report and I saw the hopes and dreams that I had. We have passed a long time ago. We have passed it so long ago in these short years, not because of me or because of you, but because of the God that works throughout all of us. I am convinced that the practical call of God in our lives is more miraculous than a stairway from heaven. This stairway from heaven that we read about in Genesis is miraculous, right? God comes down in God's own person and is talking to Jacob. And yet I believe that when you invite someone to come to church or when you have a trunk or treat at Fall Fest or when you donate a bunch of candy, I think that's more miraculous because it changes lives. It changes how people see God and God's work in their life. Being an adjunct professor at Florida Southern, sometimes I get to talk to college students who are like 19 and they're like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life. And I'm like, that's good, you shouldn't. You're a baby. Because 19-year-olds also look like babies now to me. Anyways, I digress. But we talk about dreams at that age and I think we need to talk about it now as we're older too. Because God is still showing up and God is still showing us new dreams. I have this quote from Friedrich Buchner, which is a crazy name, but it's this. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. At that intersection between the thing that wakes you up in the morning and the thing that keeps you up at night is where God's calling is. The thing that doesn't sit well with you and the thing that comes so easily to you is where your calling is. You are called. All of us are called. Whatever stage of life you are in, you are called. Because ready or not, God has dreams for you. The dreams that God has placed into all of our hearts will create a community where people feel safe, heard, and loved by the God of the universe. here at Shepherd's and in our neighborhood. Ready or not, God has dreams for you. So I've got some action points for you, a couple of things that'll help you put this sermon into action and live it in your life. The first is, I want you to look for the sacred spaces where passion and hunger meet. I want you to keep your eyes peeled this week for the ways that your passions, the things that wake you up in the morning and the things that keep you up at night meet, where those two things exist. I want you to be looking for those moments. The second thing is I want you to tell someone about your dream, the dream that God has placed in your life. I want you to tell someone about it. If it's someone here in this room, that's great. If it's a friend that you know somewhere else, I want you to tell them about it. I want you to share it. Don't keep it in, but share it. And if you can't think of anyone, your third point is, I want you to email me. That's my email address. I want you to email me your dream. The great passion that you have, the great burden that you feel, that intersection between those two points, I want you to email me and share that with me. Now, here's the thing. I am not the tooth fairy. Though I may look like her. And so I will not sprinkle pixie dust and make your dream come true. Instead, I will say, how can we make that happen? And I will put on work gloves and I will stand next to you as we make it happen together. If your dream is that we have a, you know, like a children's Christmas pageant, I'll say, let's go. Amazing. When are you going to do that? When are we going to make that happen? How are we going to do it together? Whatever your dream might be, I want to see it happen. Because ready or not, God has dreams for you. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.